Today, what I'm hoping to do is just to provide a little bit of information so that, number one, some of this will be review. If you were here back when we had an adjoint Sunday school time where we talked about a lot of these things, but that was a number of months ago, we're able to give a lot more specific detail about particular kinds of projects. Who can I put on the spot? All right, I'm going to put Jeff Kaiser on the spot and ask if you would pray for us. Amen. Amen. All right. So, as you, may know, as you could surely perceive, there are a lot of things happening at the church, and yet we're really on the cusp of a whole bunch of things getting ready to happen. We've really got three kind of major project areas. Some of you will know that all the kind of current work that we're doing, kind of in some ways the great catalyst for that work was our organ, right? So that we have had an organ now for a number of decades. Many people have been under the significant impression, because the organ had some pipes, that it was in fact a pipe organ. Right? But one of the things that I can tell you is that as you walk into the sanctuary now, you will see these huge caverns, right, in which we've cleared out the spaces in which there used to be all the pipes, right? But I can tell you, I was here when they emptied the cavern to the whatever, the kind of the right side of the pulpit from the preacher's perspective, and they took down a row of pipes, and then you know what they did? They brought out speaker after speaker after speaker. It was like a huge stack of big speakers and woofers, right? Because we didn't really have a pipe organ. We had a hybrid organ with electrical, digital, and pipe components that's kind of been pieced together over a number of decades, and it became very evident a number of months back that that organ was on its final legs. It was working towards failure, and lo and behold, right? About a month ago, right? We came in the morning and we were like, we're removing the organ in two weeks. And Sung-kyung started playing and things started like popping and sparking. And you might say to yourself, how could pipes spark? And the answer is, they don't, right? They don't, right? Old electrical componentry sparks, right? So in one sense, if you say to yourself when you hear the new pipe organ, you know, why did we have to get a new one? Because what we have right now with those big open spaces is what we would have had without a new organ, right? Big open spaces of nothingness, right? Because that organ was getting to the place where it was beyond. So you will remember we went through this extensive kind of, man, this is a big deal. This is a big investment. Do we want to invest in a full pipe organ or another electric organ, which is significantly cheaper but has a much shorter lifespan, and we argued less beauty. And so we made the decision to go with the organ, a pipe organ, a real pipe organ, right? Full pipe organ by one of the really great organ manufacturers in the country, Schontz Organ Company. They're working right now custom making our organ, making each individual pipe. And when you know something about how intricate a pipe organ is, it's really a marvelous work of construction. And it's not cheap, right? Because you can't go to Walmart and say, hey, where do I get the pipe organ, right? You go to handcrafted places. So just a reminder, this costs about $949,000, give or take essentially nothing, because that's what it costs. So we put that before the congregation and we voted to do it, right? And as part of that, we also said, we recognize we have an old building. It's like, as our organ has kind of been put together in stages, so has our facility been put together in stages. Some of those stages are a lot older than other parts. And so we knew that there was a lot of work that needed to be done. And so one of the commitments we wanted to make together is that we didn't want to ultimately make a hard and fast choice between taking care of our property or getting a new organ. And we felt like, as a session, that there were a number of commitments we could make, particularly this time around in terms of sanctuary commitments, that would dovetail very well with the organ project. So the session, you may remember, and the deacons before that, and then kind of presenting it to the session, made a pretty thorough study of what they felt like needed to be done at the church, right? It's a really long list of things that we will continue to do over a number of years. And we essentially divided that list into two tiers, right? So some of you will remember, we talked about tier one and tier two, and tier two kind of drops off indefinitely with a kind of never-ending list of projects, right? And so what we did was we put all the projects that we were connecting to the organ in tier one. And what we meant when we said tier one is these are projects that today, which was a day many months ago, we are committing to do all of these projects, even though we don't have cash on hand for all of these projects. So we were making this commitment to these projects in faith. And also we were, you know, also trying to cover our bases. And we said we are even willing to take out some short-term debt in order to, if necessary, to ensure that these projects are completed. Because they're kind of a package deal. And largely because many of the projects in the sanctuary, what we said was you don't put a $1 million organ, which is a really fine-tuned musical instrument. And I don't know if you kind of, I bet you could figure this out, but like a $1 million organ, you don't want to put that in and then dump a bunch of dust in it, right? So we said, if we're going to do this, then there's a whole series of projects, ripping up floor, painting, all kinds of things in the sanctuary itself that really need to be done before the organ is installed. That's why we were willing to commit to this up front and not do what has been our typical pattern as a church, which I think there's a lot of wisdom in that, which is we do projects when we have the money for them on hand, right? So this is a church that has historically had little to no debt, right? And there's a ton of wisdom to that. But the reason why we ventured out with a list of projects that was because in wisdom, we need to get these projects done before the organ is put in, right? So those are our tier one projects. And that's really what I want to talk about today is the state of reminding you what those projects are and updating you on the state of those projects. But I want to remind you that we're still mindful of a really long list of tier two, we could call it tier three, projects, which are things that we would really like to have done. But our commitment is we will continue to work on those projects. We will tick those projects off, in one sense, in the more traditional Westminster manner of doing projects, which is we have prioritized those projects and we will engage in those projects as the money then comes in. Once tier one is paid for, as money continues to be given and rolls in and we can rebuild our capital fund, we'll tick these projects off as we have money to do them, right? Is that clear, kind of the way we're approaching that, thinking about that? Okay, so our leading tier one project is, in fact, the organ. Where are we at on that? Well, you can see if you go into the sanctuary that we've done major work in terms of clearing out the chambers where the organ will be. So that area used to be a lot more built up. It was filled with all manner of things, pipes, speakers, electrical componentry, digital, it's all cleared out now. The space is like, this kind of glorious cavern that's been, you can notice the space has actually been significantly widened, and the space inside has been significantly opened up. We budgeted like $50,000 to just work on this, the kind of the whatever we're calling those giant holes. There's a technical term. Chambers. I was like, consoles, no, the chambers. So we were able to do that work for significantly less than that. That's super encouraging. Because as you know, when you have projects like this, some things go under, some things go over. So it's, so we're encouraged with that. And now what we're doing is we're waiting for the organ. The organ is being built and the installation date for the organ is somewhere in mid-October. Okay. So that's what, we will continue to be without an organ until mid-October. There will then be kind of a couple of weeks where the organ is kind of tuned and, played and then tweaked and adjusted because you kind of make it all, you put it in, but then you, have this very technical process of finding the organ's tuning and sounding, and it takes a little bit of time and it takes playing it and then having guys tweak it. So what we're really looking forward to is having this organ installed in October. October will be installation month. But what we're very excited about is looking forward to a holiday season with our new organ, right? So when we think about, you know, I mean, Advent is like one of my favorite times of the year, and it's one of my favorite seasons of worship here, and I'm very excited about the upcoming Advent season where we will have our new organ kind of on full display and ready to be used for the glory of God. Okay, and there's that's plugging along. I will say, Sean's is highly motivated to make sure this project is done on time because waiting in the wings is apparently this like monster organ the size of Rhode Island. I don't know where it's going to go, but they are highly motivated to say, we want to be able to work on that. That's like a game-changing organ for their work. And so not that they don't care about our organ, but they're going to finish our organ on time. I'm highly certain of that. Okay, so let's talk about other sanctuary things. I'll just very quickly talk about the Brigade Hut, which many of you will know for many, many, many years, we've had this kind of building out on our lawn out here. Back in the day, it was used for Boys Brigade, and which is kind of a Christian version of scouting, and projects were there and things were stored, and it kind of that when that program kind of ceased to exist, we continued to call it the Brigade Hut, but it became the place we've put stuff that we don't really know what to do with and don't ever really want to know what to do with again. And so some of the youth leadership ended up just having this great idea of this could be a pretty cool youth facility, right? If we were able to clean this out and kind of clean it up and, you know, make it temperature, you know, HVAC, you could put a little kitchenette in there, you could put a bathroom in there. This could be a great place to host youth group. It could be fun youth group space where they own it, which would then free up some existing space for other things here in the building. So we committed to doing that. This is not really related to the organ, so you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. But we felt like it was a really valuable project, and for a relatively little amount of money, we could have some really positive bang for the buck in terms of programming and freeing up additional space as youth moves a lot of their stuff to the Brigade Hut. Right? The Brigade Hut is moving forward. The youth actually had their last Wednesday night out there. In which I think the youth were like, this is super cool, right? It's super cool to kind of have our own space, right? That we can call our own. The work is still being worked on, and it won't be kind of fully operational till the fall, in which, you know, the installation of the kitchenette and the bathroom. So that's a little project that'll continue through the summer, but we're looking forward to a fully operational Brigade Hut come fall. Okay. And then of course the big list of tier one projects beyond the Brigade Hut involves the sanctuary. So I'm going to spell out some of the things. Some of the things in the sanctuary have already been done. And you might say, oh, I didn't really notice that. But we've renovated all the lighting in the sanctuary. Has anybody noticed that? Yeah. So what we've done is we've replaced all the bulbs and all the lenses in the can lights And all the bulbs and all the lenses have been replaced in the fixtures. Initially, our plan was to replace the fixtures and put in new fixtures. But as we looked at it, we said, we kind of like these fixtures. They're nice. They just give off kind of this very yellow light. And what we'd like to do is clean that up. And we realized that we could keep the fixtures, replace the glass panes, and replace the lights themselves. And now the light in there, it's much cleaner. It's kind of it's a whiter light as opposed to a yellow. Like you look up now and you think, oh, I always thought those fixtures were yellow. And now it's clear that they're white. So that's one thing where we saved a bunch of money, because rather than buying all new fixtures, we were able to just replace the components of the fixtures. So that's already been done. So we're encouraged with that. The balcony, right? If you normally sit in the balcony in the 8:45 service, you did not sit there this morning, right? Why? Because the chairs, have mostly been ripped up and removed and stacked. There's still a couple up there, but, the old chairs are in the process of being removed. What we will eventually then do up there is put new carpet down in the balcony, and then new chairs are being purchased and will be installed. Those new chairs will not be fixed in the ground like the current ones, but they will be like nice choir chairs. Then the upholstery on those chairs will match the upholstery that's going to be put on the pews, which will all make sitting in the balcony, A, much more comfortable, and B, it will give us flexibility going forward. If we ever decided we'd like to put an orchestra in the balcony, all we have to do is move chairs instead of like unscrewing chairs that are bolted into the ground, right? So we're excited about that project. The chairs have been ordered. Is anybody in like the construction design industry? So let me just say, it seems to me, as someone who's not in that industry, that the industry has gone mad, right? Mad. Like in that, like you say, how many of these chairs are in your warehouse? 147. Great. We'll order 100. Oh, did I say 147? I meant 3. What? How do you run a business this way? So there is this kind of, the chairs have been ordered. They're set to be delivered. If they are delayed in any way, shape, or form, we actually could, in theory, we don't want to be without a balcony for too long. We could, in theory, take existing chairs that we have, like these, and put them up in the balcony. But we're hoping that in a timely way, we'll be able to get rid of all those chairs, lay down the carpet, and then put the new chairs in so that the balcony will be kind of more comfortable space, more flexible space. I will also say, right, some people have said, this is super cheesy, but we're doing it, right? That as a fundraiser, if you would like to buy some of the old chairs, right, all those old chairs will more than likely end up like in the trash. But if you'd like to buy them and kind of put them in your house as like antique chairs, you can go out there. They're super sturdy. Even if they're not screwed in, I don't think they're going anywhere. Like they're pretty sturdy in the ground. Even some like antique dealers have been like, those are pretty interesting. We might be able to buy some of those from you guys. So if you want to buy 100% of, someone is really excited about these chairs. 100% of all the revenue that's gained from selling those chairs just goes into the sanctuary project. There's no overhead. It's essentially a donation, and you get free chairs. So there's just one. If you want to go out and look at those, you can do that. Those are now pews and choir loft chairs, right? The pews and the choir loft chairs are going to be removed, reupholstered, repainted, with the wood stain refreshed. So the white on the pew will be a slightly different white because it will match the new trim color. And then all the little nicks and stuff on the wood and where there used to be stickers, that stuff will all be cleaned up. And we're excited about that. We anticipate that it will take about 2 weeks to redo all the pews and probably an additional 2 weeks, because we're using the same company, to do all the choir chairs. So probably have them in 2 week units, right? In which, we'll move forward on those. You might notice that There are, especially up on the platform, there are these metal vents that are kind of like, you know, chintzy, look like we bought them for $9.99. And we're going to replace those with wood vents that will be painted. I think they'll look very nice. Another big project is the church will be the sanctuary will be replastered and repainted. So you're already seeing the preparation for that, right? So if you walk in and go, I like what you've done with the place. It's just preparation for the work. What you will probably also see in the coming weeks is plaster repair beginning to already be in place. So where you see a big crack, at some point you're going to see that crack plastered, but you're going to be like, that doesn't look much better, right? Don't worry. Once it's painted, you won't see the crack or the stuff that you guys probably know this from your own home, right? And then we will engage in the repainting of the entire sanctuary floor to baseboard, ceiling to baseboard. So we're excited about that. I can't remember. I mean, I know none of this stuff has been done in my time here. I can't remember the last. Anybody know? Anybody remember being here the last time the sanctuary was repainted? 96. Yeah. Okay. It's good. One of the big projects in the sanctuary is replacing the carpet, and the carpet is going to be replaced with a very nice, I'm not doing this for nice. I'm just saying replaced with, a very nice, limestone tile. So this is a real stone tile. It's in these big, beautiful pieces. So it's not made in a laboratory to look like stone. It's actual, real stone. It's about this thick. It will be here until Jesus comes back, right? I mean, we're excited about this tile, right? We had an aesthetic committee, and if you're, you can imagine all the arguments you have with yourself when you're trying to pick a paint in your house, right? You put together a committee of like 7 or 8 people. And so we were like, and then I would say, well, I think this. And all the women would be like, nobody cares. No, nobody cares, right? But one thing that the whole committee was able to enthusiastically be like, yes, is this tile, right? Here is the dilemma, right? We're ordering this tile through a company called Renaissance Tile here in Atlanta. And this tile is Italian limestone that's actually being quarried in a quarry in Italy. And it's all being cut in the same batch so that it all actually looks the same. Because you can have limestone that's quarried at different times over different periods, and then you put it all down, and you're like, this isn't all the same tile, right? So we're very excited about this, but I'm not sure when this tile is going to arrive. Right. I have heard that there are guys working on it, right? This was one of those where we went to the people and said, how much of this do you have in your warehouse? And they said 4,000 square feet. We're like, oh, that's a pretty good number. And then we called back and they said, we meant 6. And I'm not exaggerating. I was like, 6 square feet. So this is important because, in a sense, all of these projects are tied together, right? So you don't paint, we could paint the church probably next week, but you don't paint the church. I mean, we could paint the church and then disrupt everything for the painting, and then come back and disrupt everything again for the tile, and then disrupt everything again. What we want to do is cluster all these things together so we're 3 weeks, like a 2 Sundays, we get all this work done, and then we worship in here for 3 weeks, and we go back. So the plan was that we would do this, and those 3 weeks would be coming up very quickly, 3 weeks in July. So the thing that's kind of in the balance is how quickly will this Italian tile be ready and be done. What we're doing is kind of lining up these projects in such a way that when everything comes together, we say go, at which point we will be out of the sanctuary for 2 weeks, maybe 3, and we'll be worshiping in here for two services. It'll be exciting and, you know, community building, and we're excited about that. A couple other things that are going to happen. The platform is going to be refinished and restained. Right now, it kind of matches the pews, but not really. And so the color of the platform will actually be much tighter with the pew color in the wood. The other things that we'll be doing are the narthex and the bathrooms. So we're putting this tile down in the narthex as well. And we're redoing the kind of interior, the interior of the narthex and renovating the bathrooms. And part of the renovation of the bathroom, right now we have a women's bathroom and a family restroom. We're renovating the family restroom to make it ADA compliant. So that's a bigger project. It means widening the door so that wheelchairs can get in and out of there. We think that's definitely worth it to be able to do that, but that will be a more significant investment in that particular bathroom. But the whole bathroom will be renovated. The whole narthex will be renovated. We would love to do that in joint conjunction with the sanctuary, right? So these things are kind of working together. We'll also be installing acoustic panels on the back wall of the sanctuary. That will be part of what we had an acoustician who came in and was in like our sanctuary for multiple hours listening and going in every corner. And they recommended we actually go with a hard surface floor to create a little more resonance in the building. But then they also recognized that as you do that, there's a certain sense in which you also need to kind of deaden the spoken word. And so there will be panels that will be put in on the back wall. You probably won't notice them unless you're really looking. The other big part of the sanctuary project will be the replacement of all the windows. We're more optimistic on this project. The schedule is for that. They are being fabricated for our, you know, those kinds of windows. Again, you can't go into Walmart and say, where do I find those? But all the windows on the sides of the building, all of those windows are being replaced. If you are in the hallway and you look through the glass door, you can see a little cutout of a corner of the window. You can see how much more solid that window is. You can see that it's double paned. So part of what we want to do in putting a $1 million organ in is to do all that we can to ensure that the sanctuary, we're able to control heat, cold, and humidity more effectively. And right now, those windows, they're 60 years old, and they're essentially kind of a sieve for heat, cold, and moisture. So that's a big part of that project. They are scheduled to be shipped to us on August 15th. They will arrive and they will begin to put those in. So the replacement of windows is something that it will take place probably over the course of about 3 weeks. It's a Monday to a Friday project. It won't disrupt Sunday mornings at all. But what will happen is you'll show up and be like, oh, they did two this week, right? And then you'll show up and say, oh, they kind of got the hang of it, and they did four the following week, and then the next week, right? So they will come in a series of probably 3 or 4 weeks that they'll all be replaced. So those are the big tier one projects, right? Let me make a couple of, and we can just pray. In particular, the big outlier is the tile. And as the tile, as we have a reliable date of that tile being put on a ship and sent over, we will then be able to line up everything else. If that whole system just breaks down, it's conceivable we might have to go with a different tile, but we haven't crossed that bridge yet. But it would be really problematic if that tile actually stretched into October. Because, again, you don't want to put that organ in and then have to rip up your whole sanctuary. So those are things you can be praying for, right? You didn't know you had to pray for Italian quarry workers not to get sick and showing up to work and all that kind of stuff. The train's running on time, getting people to the quarry. But yes, I would encourage you to do so, right? Because as that project comes together, all the other pieces fall into line. And at some point in July or August, you're going to see the transformation of that sanctuary in the span of about 3 weeks. Okay? So those are kind of the big projects. Where are we at on funding, right? A couple things. So the Oregon project, as we said, is about a $949,000 project. The brigade hut, along with kind of every other thing we've had to spend, project management. Unfortunately, just because you're doing some projects doesn't mean things don't break. So we, for instance, like had a component part of our air conditioner that broke. So one day I was here, I'm meeting with someone in my office, and I was like, that kind of smells like fire. And then like 10 seconds later, smoke started billowing through all the vents. And we were like, huh, this could change the whole like renovation project, right? It turned out that just a part in the air conditioner blew, you know, but that was like a couple $1,000s, paid it out of the capital fund. We've had some historic negotiations, which are in the very long-term good, positive interest of our church regarding the parking lot out here and our arrangement with the legal arrangement with the apartment complex in the parking lot. So long story, Russell would be so happy to, if you took him out to lunch and said, tell me the story of the legal dealings with that parking lot. Russell, as one of our elders, has done yeoman's work, but that cost us $10,000. So there's been a kind of other projects. So the brigade hut, all of our property management costs, and everything else we've had to spend on capital, including the brigade hut, that number comes to about $129,000. And then all the sanctuary expenses come out to $518,000. So if you're doing your math at home, the grand total of all the Tier 1 projects is $1.596 million. Okay. That's how much Tier 1 costs us. Okay. We have currently spent on Tier 1 projects. So that's paying ahead for things that are going to happen. We've made some significant contributions already to the Oregon. So the payments for that are scheduled over time. We have spent already we have spent $742,269. So this is how much we've spent, right? So we've already paid this money for all these projects based on money that was already in the capital and Oregon funds. Okay? So that means, if you're doing the math at home, that we still need to spend $854,000. $854,236,000. So this is how much we still have to spend in order to complete Tier 1. $854,236. Okay. We currently have, still in our Oregon fund and our capital fund, sitting there, like we could write a check today, we still have, as of the end of May, $591,316. Okay? So this is what we have. This is what we still have to spend, right? Which means that at of the end of May, we still have to come up with $262,920. Okay? Now, here's some even better news. This week, I don't know the total numbers of giving that came in June, but I do know that someone gave a $30,000 gift. It's great. Super encouraging. So even though we haven't run updated numbers, Eleanor just said 30,000 is easy to subtract, right? So 262 is actually 232. We also have a $50,000 pledge that has not been given yet, but I have super high levels of confidence that it will in fact be given, which takes us down to 180. So here's where we are. Some of you will also remember that we voted to take out a line of credit. So we have a line of credit that we have closed on. It's sitting there. We haven't touched it yet. But remember what we said, tier one are projects we're committing to do. So if not another dollar is given to capital or organ, we will be into that line of credit. We'll have to go into it about $180,000, right? Here's what I would pray. I'm praying, and I ask that you would prayerfully consider, right? That little hypothetical statement, if not another dollar is given, is just so far from reality, right? And that over the next month or so, that people in the church would prayerfully consider giving a gift above and beyond their normal giving tithes and offerings, which help us pay our bills every month. What we don't want to do is have everybody say, I'll just take my normal giving and give it to the capital fund. It'd be great, except then we just don't pay any of our bills and that month, and then what we have to do is take money in the capital fund and then just transfer it back over to operations, right? So that's not what, if you are in a position where you're like, things are super tight for me, and all I can do is give the normal gift that I give to the normal operating fund, then I would say, do that. Thank you. That is awesome. We're so appreciative of that. If you are in a position to say, I think I could give a one-time gift that's over and above that in the next June or July, this is my prayer, is that we don't have to touch that line of credit. Because by the end of July, we have had an extra $180,000 in giving, which is a lot, right? We don't have a lot of months where we meet our normal operating and have $180,000 given beyond that, right? But I'm praying that God would actually, while we have that line of credit available, and we would start to have to tap into that like end of July, right? That's when our next like big payment for the or that we would not have to tap into that, because God would provide us with the remaining 180. So I would just ask you to prayerfully consider that, knowing that inflation affects everybody, and we don't talk a lot at this church about me. You know, I've never once have I like scheduled a visit with someone to say, let's talk about giving. Would you be willing? You know, some people are shocked that I've been the pastor here for 10 years and I don't know what anybody gives, right? I don't know if you knew that. I don't know what a single person at this church gives, right? And part of the reason why I do that is so that that giving will never dictate pastoral care, right? There are churches where the pastor knows the top 10 givers and he's always building those relationships. I'm not indicting churches who do that, but it is very hard. If one of those people are in the hospital, you make sure you're there. If just little old sweet someone is in the hospital and you're like, I don't know. I don't know if it's worth my time, right? So we endeavor here to practice that James model of we offer the same pastoral care, Lord willing, to rich and to poor. And part of what aids that is I'm not exactly sure who rich and poor are, right? So this is not a just know, like I'm not going through an Excel spreadsheet and going, maybe Bruce could ramp this up a little more. I'm just putting it out there for our body to say, prayerfully consider that. Pray for yourself and pray for the whole body, that those who can would be in a position to make a strategic gift in the next month and a half and get us to this place where that 180 is gone and we're moving forward and we're getting all this work done without a penny of even short-term debt. That would be great. All right? Next week, just remind you, I'm going to talk about a very particular project, right? And I hope you'll find that interesting and helpful. And then the following week, the last week in June, is going to be a Q&A for, you know, ask anything you want about any of the projects, about any of the funding. You can ask about just kind of future vision. Where do we go from here? But that will be, so next week will be kind of a specific update on a particular project, and the following week will be open Q&A. Okay? Ryan Bailey, would you be willing to close us in prayer?
Father, we're incredibly grateful that you love us, for us and never against us. We rise together as a body. We worship you, Lord, and to serve you in love. Just pray, Father, for all the things that you've talked about today. And pray, Father, for the hearts and minds that have sacrificed for something that's been done for all. And especially that's going to please you and for you. We pray, Lord, for that service. We pray that us and us are still coming to ask them to open to you and maybe even worship you. Thank you so much for the help. The staff, Mary, Ethan, John, for all this tonight. And this permission for all four of us. Bless them in the wisdom of discernment. Please, Father, for our time and as in our lives. And we thank you once again for this opportunity.
Amen. Thank you.